depend on it.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. Wes Moss, your host. 9 to 11 every Sunday. Phone lines open today, 404-872-0750. A thought my voice would be totally gone today. Instead, it actually got better. So we're good to go. A little scratchy, but it'll probably work through today. And on this Mother's Day, happy Mother's Day, moms. I hope you have a day planned. I know you do. And you can get it. You can get places now in Atlanta. You can actually get to where you would like to go because I-85 is now open, both north and both south. Just fantastic. We've got a lot to talk about today. A reality check for the retail. So there's just this continued talk about the retail apocalypse, and it is very real. If you're a retailer, if you own a store, particularly a clothing store for teens, you know, listen, it's tough to even stay in business in America right now. But there's a lot behind this economic carnage. And you hear in the headlines all of the stores that you and I both know. And you think to yourself, man, what is happening? There's no way the economy can be any good when you hear every store that you've known since you've grown up as a child has been getting shut down by the hundreds. When you hear, oh, well, they closed all 175 stores, you think, wow, this economy's got to be tough. Some of the carnage you get, Sears, Kmart, you know, you get that a little bit. Oh, there's too many of them, number one. Number two, they're not great experiences. Number three, Americans have shifted to the experiential shopping. We are consumers, and consumerism in America isn't dead. It's just really shifting. And that's crushing retail stores. So you go from the JCPenney's and the Sears and the Kmart's of the world, all the stores we've known growing up as kids, and our parents and our grandparents for the most part, and you hear them they lock the doors, they clear the parking lots. That's unsettling. But then it spreads to places that your kids know and maybe even your grandchildren know. Okay, well, this store called Wet Seal, what is that? I don't know. I think maybe I've seen it in the mall. It looks like a terrible store. But for a preteen or a tweener or a teen, maybe it was a great store at one point. It's not anymore. So you hear stores like Wet Seal and BCBG and BB and Abercrombie and Guess, and they're closing hundreds and hundreds of stores. In some cases, they're closing everything and they're just going out of business. Now, a lot of these are bankruptcies. In the case of Radio Shack, where you, again, they're closing 500, let's see here. Radio Shack filed for bankruptcy for the second time recently, closing 552 of its stores. Now, remember, that's not all of their stores. That's about 40%. Of their stores. So bankruptcy gives these stores a chance to try to get rid of some of the debt and try to come back and survive. But this carnage has just been continuing to spread. GameStop closing 150 locations. Crocs, those weird little shoes. Again, one of the businesses you wonder, well, how is that really going to stay in business? Why can't 10 other people do the exact same thing and just push Crocs out of the way? Well, to some extent, that's happening. So the thoughts that you've had from a retail perspective, you know, why is that store in business? That's a terrible place. You know what? You were right. It was a terrible place, and it's mostly going away. And that's the economic reality of our time. But it doesn't mean the consumer is going away. So if you really dig into the consumer numbers, and this is one of the things I love to do. I love to take a headline problem, and this is a perfect example. Well, retail in America is dead. Thousands of stores are closing. All the names you know going out of business. That means the death of American shopping, the death of the consumer. That's not the story. So I love taking one of these really prominent headlines that everybody already agrees about and then diving into all the numbers behind that. So if you take a look at what we're spending as a country in terms of how many tens or hundreds of billions of dollars on experiences and goods and bars and restaurants and retail or direct marketing, or of course, e-commerce, which now is a giant piece of that equation. If you really look at the numbers now, you can see what's really happening under the surface or in the ecosystem or what's happening within the aquarium that's impacting the rest of the aquarium. And that's this story behind retail in America. And I'm going to talk about those numbers today. And I've been writing about it this past week, and I'll publish this too in my next AJC column, and we'll continue to publish on wesmoss.com about this, and we'll try to help you understand what's happening with retail in America, because really we've got to get back to one of the few fundamental principles that really matters. Remember, folks, there's not that many pieces of the pie that really matter when it comes to investing. It comes down to a strong economy, and it comes down to corporate earnings. And those two, over time, run hand in hand. You cannot have one without the other for an extended period of time. And if you can't have a U.S. consumer that's doing well, if you have a country that is the four of the five pistons of the engine are you and I as consuming and moving forward in an economy, and each generation getting better and better, and continuing to spend and continuing to grow. If you don't have that, then you don't have the growth of the corporate side of the world, which is the equity side of the world, which is what you and I invest in. So we've got to have all those pieces in line together in order to continue to have an economy that you and I have faith in to invest in for the next 10 and 20 and 30 and 50 and 100 years. And that's why we're here. So that's why I think it's so important, and it's fundamentally to keep an eye on the very foundation of where we're putting our money as investors. So what happened this week, of course, that we hit news all over the place. Markets down about 0.5% on the week. And we've had really a very solid year. Volatility in U.S. stocks has hit since the VIX came out, and let's call it for about over the last approximately 40 years, the last couple of weeks, the last 3 weeks of stock trading, really 2 weeks to be exact, has been the lowest ebb that we have seen in that history. So there has just not been a lot of jumpiness. Not that markets are asleep, but it is a little bit unsettling because we have all these geopolitical issues. You've got North Korea, you have this very new administration in Washington. It's a little bit unsettling. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. You're always worried that something might pop out of Washington and now become a geopolitical concern. And then does that hit the stock market? And I know that's the question that we're all wondering. And that's the question that we're keeping an eye on. But it's yet another headline that doesn't seem to be as bad as the headline makes it out to be. If you look at, obviously, the biggest story of the week out of Washington was about Comey. Yes, Trump fires Comey. Everyone, at least on, let's say, from independents to anyone on the left, is calling for Trump's impeachment again. Now, this is that same drumbeat you heard early in the administration. It died down for the last, call it, month, and now it's back. Now, every article I read now from places that are supposed to be independent, from places like Reuters and Bloomberg that are supposed to be financial outlets and be relatively independent, and I realize there's a giant spin or shine one direction or the other in every one of these news outlets, but now that drumbeat of, oh, well, now, of course, this is the time. Now we're going to get him. Now he's done it. Now he's pushed it out too far, and now we're going to get Trump. Listen, Trump's playing street ball, right? His rules are street ball rules. They're expanded from the normal everyday play in the NBA. He is not playing by the same set of rules that anybody else has played by. So no, it's very unsettling, particularly if you hate the guy. And I know a lot of America still can't stand Donald Trump. This isn't a political show, but remember, the stability of administration is a giant part of what happens economically. So again, we got to keep an eye on that too. So we go to, there's this issue with Comey and Trump. You've got now this new drumbeat in the headlines that because Trump just kicked Comey out, he's now down the road of Richard Nixon. And if you watched anything with Saturday Night Live last night, the entire show was about this. The beginning monologue, and as the show continued on, it was all about how bad Donald Trump is and how he is ready to get impeached. And it's the same drumbeat that we've been hearing that's just completely overblown. I know that's what that part of the country, and it's a big chunk of the country, it's let's call it half. I know that that's half the country would love to see that. And I get it. Trump is not necessarily the most likable guy. And there's a lot of things that he's done that has made a giant part of the country nervous and unsettled, but it's just not going to happen, guys. I'm sorry. But that's the drumbeat of all news right now. Trump's going to get impeached. Now he's really blown it. Obstruction of justice. This is the final straw. You know what? It's just not. It's not the final straw. It's not even close to the final straw. And it is something that is a giant misconception that actually drives real investment decisions on a big portion of the market. For every person that you know that's elated and optimistic and excited about a new direction, hey, let's get new healthcare, let's get new taxes, let's get an infrastructure package, let's get the economy moving again beyond 2%, which is where we've been stuck for about 8 years now. For every person that is optimistic about that, there's another person in America that thinks that this is the end of all. And if you're in that camp, what do you do? Well, you take a step back and you go away from markets and you stop becoming an investor because you're too nervous about the direction. And that long term can be a very, very costly mistake, clouded by not understanding the reality of the headlines, not understanding, are all retail businesses in America going out of business? No, they're not at all. Is Donald Trump getting impeached tomorrow because you don't like him? No. Not at all. So let's get a reality check here today on Money Matters and understand really what's going to happen and not just what you think is going to happen or the headlines might suggest is going to happen or what you would like to happen, because that doesn't matter what you want as an investor. It matters what the reality is. And we're going to break that down today, whether it's Comey, whether it is retail in America, or we're talking about the I-85 bridge, which is a much, much less hot topic, or let's say a much less controversial topic. But I also wanted to get an economic breakdown of what would have happened if this bridge did not get built. So we're going to talk about how GDOT and CW Matthews saved Atlanta from complete economic peril when we return. Stay tuned to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, right here, News 95.5, AM 750, WSB.
Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner, Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on Mother's Day Sunday morning. Good morning. And if you're headed to Mother's Day brunch or maybe already finishing up church, we are live here this Sunday morning in a world that it just continues to swirl. You've got Comey out by Trump. You've got ransomware all over the world. You've got new economic numbers that continue to come out. Consumer Price Index, which is a measure of inflation here in America, up by about 0.2% in April. Retail sales, what we're going to talk about today here, up about 0.4%, so close to 0.5%, but both of those were a little behind what the market was expecting. But we actually made another high on the S&P this week. So for the week, S&P 500 down about 0.3%, Dow Jones down about 0.5% on the week. So the market didn't continue to move forward. But this past Wednesday, the S&P 500 did hit a new high. It was the 16th record high of 2017 set on this past Wednesday. So there's a lot happening underneath the surface here. What the three topics today? One, we're talking about the economics. Well, one, we're going to talk about the economics of retail. Is retail dead in America, and what the consumer is doing today? tons of news out this week. If you saw Macy's, Nordstrom, JCPenney, stocks got hammered this week because the, quote, retail apocalypse. We're going to talk about Trump, Comey, and how that might impact the economy or the markets. And then, of course, I want to talk about the bridge. We are all lanes open, I-85, north and south. How GDOT and C.W. Matthews saved Atlanta from economic peril coming up straight ahead right here on Money Matters. News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. Good morning. Good Mother's Day morning. Welcome to Money Matters here. Beautiful Sunday, 67 degrees, low humidity. Just a perfect spring day in Atlanta. So good morning. Welcome to the show here. If you're just tuning in, three things we're covering today. The impact of Comey, Trump, firing economics market. Two, we're talking right now about the bridge and how GDOT and C.W. Matthews saved Atlanta from economic peril. Speaking of economic peril, retailers in America, companies like Macy's and Nordstrom and JCPenney getting hammered in the stock market, closing stores. What does it all mean? That's what we're talking about here today. We are live on this Sunday morning. The questions that you have in any given week, I was just going through. I try to keep track of what folks are asking about to see if there's any real pattern here. And I went back over the last couple of months and reading through just the topics I keep track of to see if there's any sort of pattern or theme. And I'm just going to zip through a couple of these questions that I get calls about here on a Sunday morning live. So if you're listening, you're thinking, hey, let's call that Wes guy on WSB on a Sunday morning. We have a few minutes, honey. Maybe he'll give us a second opinion. Then guess what? The time to do that is right now. Over the next half an hour, over the next hour and a half, I'm here live in the studio. So the questions, it looks like Treasury and inflation protected funds versus target funds. Another question, hey, I'm a small business owner. Well, how is my tax going to be impacted by the new Trump plan? Well, how will low income taxpayers be influenced by the new Trump plan? I have a pension and they're offering me a big lump sum to take away my monthly amount. Which one should I take, the monthly or the lump sum? There are three or four of those over the last couple of months. So there's a little bit of a theme there. And I think that's a pervasive theme in America as companies try to kind of push folks out. They try to reduce their workforce. One of the ways to do that is to offer a lump sum pension buyout so that they don't have to pay you for the rest of your life. We had a call about a rollover. Hey, I'm 53. I've got this $450,000. Should I roll this over into what kind of IRA and what should I do with it? And several inheritances questions. Hey, I've got an inheritance. What does that do for, what is the tax implication on that? Have this new index annuity from a Nationwide. What does that mean? And should I buy it, Wes? Should I stay away from international companies and stick with the U.S. or vice versa? So it really is this just tremendous variety of financial questions we get here on a Sunday morning. It's probably the most fun part about the show, and it keeps it live, it keeps it fresh, and it keeps us a valuable member of the community that can still give objective financial advice. One of the last shows in America that I believe really does that, and we love doing it. So if you have questions on a Sunday morning, you'd like to get my take on that and maybe a little bit of help or direction and or maybe a tiebreaker in one way or the other. Wes, I have this Roth IRA. What should I do with it? Or I have this 401k. How should it be treated? Or where do I go from here? I'm 53 and I need to figure this out. I'm 62. I'm just starting to take Social Security. I need to figure this out. Then that's what we're here for on a Sunday morning. So phone lines open. Give me a call here in the studio, 404-872-0750 on this Mother's Day. Again, phone lines open live in the studio here on a Sunday morning, 404-872-0750. Also, if you're in Texas, California, Washington, Michigan, the number here in the studio, 404, the 1-800 number, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Or if you're listening online or on the WSB radio app, again, 1-800-WSB-TALK. And we'll go to the phones in just a couple of minutes here. So let's go back to, and I was thinking through what, I'm not going to call it a miracle, but it was getting close, it's getting close to one. when it comes to what happened with this I-85 bridge collapse. And what GDOT, so we all remember it was March 30th. It happened to be my birthday, so I remember the date. Bridge collapse, and we all immediately thought, oh, this is going to be until Thanksgiving. It's going to be probably till Christmas. The rest of the year, this place is just going to be go from a traffic nightmare to a traffic apocalypse in Atlanta. And I happen to live right in Midtown. And I live right near the bridge collapse. So what happened is that getting to the highway has just been it's doubled at least. So instead of taking 10 or 15 minutes to get to the highway, it's 30 minutes to get to the highway. And all of these neighborhoods around Peachtree, whether it's Brookwood Hills or Ansley or Sherwood Forest, or all the neighborhoods around here now flooded with cars. We had a SUV on just a little family road. I've never seen any wrecks there. Literally just flip over. Didn't even know there was a stop sign or a light. Just over the hill, airborne, flipped over. Could have killed 10 people. Luckily didn't. We had a Tesla 2 weeks ago run over a biker in my what used to be quiet, peaceful walking neighborhood. Just ran over, knocked the guy out. He lived, fortunately. But little neighborhoods, because of Waze and traffic apps and all these other things that reroute you through these neighborhoods, just became a complete nightmare. And that's what we're facing. Was that going to be all year? Well, thanks to GDOT and thanks to C.W. Matthews, the contracting company, that I believe is over. I mean, we're going to go back to the traffic that was bad. That's okay. Every big city has bad traffic, and that's why you tune into WSB Radio. And our traffic team did a remarkable job getting us through the last 6 weeks or so, getting us to work, getting us home, getting us around the city. But the what they did so well here is that the original estimate they knew was a little bit conservative. They thought they could do this quickly, but they didn't tell us how quickly they thought. So this is the classic under-promise, over-deliver. Right? That's what you want. You don't care if you're in the doctor's office, you have to wait 15 minutes, but if they tell you 5 and it's 15, it's infuriating. If they say, oh, I'm so sorry, but it's going to be 25 minutes, they get you in 10, now they're heroes. That's exactly what C.W. Matthews did. They didn't know about how quickly they could get the supply of workers, the supply of materials, but they were 24/7 on this thing. And then they use fast curing concrete and all these tricks of the trade that worked out. And then they, of course, had this giant economic incentive that you've read about, $3.1 million. Now, yeah, that's taxpayer money for the early completion. That was an incentive bonus. And guess what? Incentives work. One of my favorite economists, under a signature line for 15 years, his little quote was, "People respond to incentives from an economic perspective." And that's exactly what we're seeing, or we just saw with GDOT and C.W. Matthews. So the estimates of the rebuild, let's see how much it really costs. I've read a lot of different stories on this. I've read something around 15 million to 20 million. A little over a million of that was just to get rid of the wreckage that we had to pay for expanding MARTA. And then, of course, to do all the massive work. And then the incentive fee, pretty big chunk. But the economic impact is more severe than that. And it's non-linear. And here's what I mean by that. 250,000 cars drive through that route every day. 250,000. 250,000 vehicles, which is an astonishing number. Minneapolis, to be more accurate, had to deal with something like this about 10 years ago. They had a major bridge collapse, actually even bigger. Their Department of Transportation put the cost at $400,000 in economic loss per day. Hey, I'm not going here because of I can't get there. Ours, of course, is worse because this is even more in the heart. This is like the main artery of where we drive. So I'm going to put the cost at least $500,000 a day, $500,000 a day in economic loss. So that's 44 days of repair. Project cost, so that's another $22 million, at least in additional economic cost to the 16 to really do the work. Now we're talking about a $40 million project. But I'm thinking that it's more of a quality of life shift issue that could have really mushroomed if this project lingered. Atlanta traffic is already this. It's already a traffic nightmare, which makes the city more and more. And since I've lived here for almost 20 years, it's more and more geographically compartmentalized. Think about how many times over the past month and a half or so, you just said, you know what, I'm just not going. I'm just not getting back in the car and going to go there, period. Because I know it's going to be bad. It could be even worse than I'm thinking. I've done the same thing for sports practices. We've just skipped concerts. You know, we're just not going to go eating out because traffic has gotten to be so bad. When commerce slows down, think of commerce even by 5%. So out of 100 things you're going to go do, you say 5 of them, you know, I'm just not going to go. Or 10%. So one out of every 10 things you say, you know what, let's skip that. Now we're talking severe economic impact. Plus, imagine a corporate relocation team thinking about bringing a billion-dollar business to Atlanta. They're driving around in the chaos over the last 6 weeks. There's no way that corporate team says, hey guys, let's move to Atlanta where you can't get anywhere. So now we're starting to talk about billions and billions of dollars if this thing doesn't get done. So if the new I-85 bridge helps to change the MARTA habits, right? So let's say MARTA's up 20% like that's reported, and we return to normal with traffic, yet let's say half of those folks say, so we have an increase, 10% of folks now stay off the roads and they use MARTA. We could even be in a slightly better position now than before the bridge collapsed. So it may actually even improve traffic in Atlanta, which is really going to improve the Atlanta economy. So the hard cost here, $13 million, right? The incentive cost, another $3 million. GDOT, C.W. Matthews could... If you really look at the true cost, which I put in the billions, Atlanta has been saved by what GDOT did and what C.W. Matthews did. This could have been an economic disaster. So I look at the project as just a tremendous civil engineering feat in the speed that they did it. And they really could have saved this city. They could have saved Atlanta billions of dollars, not just in repair to our bridge, but repair to our mobility and our quality of life and our reputation as a city. And that's really where the economic impact is. That's really what will impact this city over the next 10 and 20 years. So I give them a big thank you. I mean, the work they did really was incredible. I'm excited about it. I still haven't driven over I-85 north or south. I can't wait to do it. I've never been so excited to drive over a bridge. All right, when we get back, I want to go to the phones here. Again, the number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. Phone lines open here on a Sunday morning, 1-800-WSB-TALK. You're listening to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, right here, News 95.5 AM 750.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll cover breaking news, Kirk Miller's weather, and traffic red alerts throughout the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Wes Moss and the money and investing advice you need.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Let's go to the phones. 404-872-0750. Steve in Cartersville. Steve, what's going on? How can I help?
I have a minimum requirements or distribution requirements question. My wife and I both have two accounts with separate financial institutions, and we both turned 70.5 this year. And I have taken enough money out of one of my institutions to cover the percentage I would need to take out. But I'm just wondering, do I have to do that with each institution rather than the total amount?
Okay, so... Yes. So here's what Steve is asking for all of you wondering what Steve's talking about here. So Steve, important question. We all have to, if you have a regular IRA or a regular 401k or a regular, anything that's not a Roth IRA. So it's right. a regular retirement account. Once you get 70.5, you've got to start taking required minimum distributions. The way it works, the IRS looks at all of your accounts let's say you have seven different IRAs. They take the aggregate of all of those accounts, then they apply your age divisor to the aggregate number, the sum, and that's how much you have to pull out. You can do all of it from one IRA as long as the percentage amount or the dollar amount or the nominal amount gets fulfilled. Or you can take the exact same amount ever out of every account. Either way, it's going to sum up to the divisor times all of your retirement assets. So to answer your question, even though you have two or three separate accounts, you can just, hey, I've got this one big IRA and two little IRAs. A lot of folks will just say, I'm just going to take my overall RMD, required minimum distribution. It's just going to come out of this one big IRA because logistically it's a lot easier to do that. So the answer to your question, Steve, is yes, you can do that. It's a logistically simple way to keep track of everything.
Okay, thank you very much.
Have a great rest of your Sunday. We've got more calls here we're going to go to on Money Matters. We've got to go to quick news weather traffic. Hey, remember, the roads are open, I-85 north and south. And I'm going to put the economic cost, yeah, it's $20 million around. Could have been $20 billion if they hadn't gotten this done so quickly. So I'm impressed with GDOT. I'm impressed with C.W. Matthews. They saved a city that was teetering on the edge of economic disaster because traffic going from bad to worse to apocalyptic now might actually get a little bit better. That's really good for the next decade here in the city of Atlanta and surrounding metro. You're listening to WSB. Calls, questions straight ahead.